Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for, what is it, already the 21st? It's amazing, September 21st in the year of our Lord, 2018, hour 202. Kirk Crosby's with me. Our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Hour 202, hour 1, we had on the good Sheriff Richard Mack. So thanks so much for your attendance for that. We had an interesting conversation about a what-if scenario. And I'm normally not too big into what-ifs, but this was a fascinating what-if, to say the least. If you haven't heard it, check out last hour. It'll be up in a little bit. Where is justice is the question. What if? What are we to do? We're talking about Kyrsten Sinema running for Senate in Arizona. You gotta wonder, what is the big what if, huh? All right. We'll talk with Kurt here in just a second, but a recap of yesterday's show. We didn't get to that last hour. We talked about the double standard, and circumstantial morality has got to end, folks. We talked about Juanita Broderick. She's saying, if you're going to listen to Ford, why don't you listen to me? I was the one really that got raped by Bill Clinton. Hillary says, quote, she deserves benefit of the doubt, talking about Ford. What about Broderick? Where's the Me Too movement for her, huh? What about Jennifer Flowers? What about, I mean, it goes on down the road. What should be done about the Kavanaugh nomination, folks? Donald Trump's waiting and letting this play out. Richard Mack predicted at the end of last hour that he will be confirmed in the next couple of weeks. And in this in this midterm elections, that the Democrats will gain ground. They probably won't take the House, but you know what? It's iffy if they'll take the Senate. But they're going to gain ground because the Republicans have done nothing. But I submit to you that, you know what, unless the biblical standard of two or three witnesses is met, it's a non-starter. They should dismiss her claim. Anything else is a travesty, a mockery, a sham of the American way. All right, those topics are too hard. We also talked about, you know what, International Podcast Day is coming up on the 30th. We talked about BuzzFeed News cuts podcasts and cuts their podcast team in an effort to focus on video. That was hour one. Hour two, we talked about my invitation to the PragerU University Gala. We talked about the Gallup poll, a record low. Only 12% of Americans consider the economy top problem. Amazon will consider opening up to 3,000 cashierless stores by 2021. So I guess what? What would it be? 3 years, I guess? Trump blasts Congress over a ridiculous spending bill. Where's the money for the wall, he says. I would simply mock Donald back if I was in Congress, and I'd say, well, since it was supposed to come from the Mexicans, I don't know where it is, Donald. Why don't you tell me? You were the one that was supposed to come up with it. You were the ones that were going to expect the Mexicans to pay for it. What have you accomplished on that front, sir? So don't mock me and ask me where the money for the wall is. The money for the wall comes from the Mexican people. That's what you said. How come you haven't produced it? See, it's interesting to me. They all want to attack Donald, but they don't attack him on common sense issues. It's amazing. God's Not Dead, great movie. The writers of that film also making a Planned Parenthood movie, telling the truth about pro-death, about the abortion mills, about body parts selling, and more. Our prayers are they're successful. We talked about jobless claims fall again. Reach a new 49-year low. That's phenomenal news. We also talked about four more states are involved in the 3D printed guns battle. Are we going to allow 3D printed guns? What's going to happen there? Can they really stop the guns? It's interesting to me. They claim the communist Chinese and the Russians can hack all the elections and such. It's a big threat, but yet they can't release 3D gun plans. I mean, it's just wow. Hillary Clinton says, let's abolish the Electoral College. Art Moore, WND.com, writes the piece. She's off a rocker, as you well know. Professor doubles down and says men and women are biologically different. College goes berserk, folks. We also talked about the U.S. Coast Guard agent, I guess, got removed after supposedly making a white power hand signal on live TV. Do you believe that all happened? Wow. I'm telling you, America's divided. And I predict, I'm telling you right now, we're going to move more towards more and more and more division, more and more and more violence, more and more and more hate, more and more dysfunction and confusion, and because that's what the leaders are pushing for. I pray it doesn't happen, folks. I pray for following the Prince of Peace. I pray for peaceful resolution to the conflicts we face in America, but I don't see us going down that road, sadly. I'll tell you what'll make the change if we, you know what? If we turn to God, family, and country, and if we promote life, liberty, and property, we might get there. But as long as we turn our back on the Almighty, I have no hope for resolution. The hope is in Christ, is the point. That is the author of our liberty. Let's be very clear. All right, without further ado, Kirk Crosby's on the road, but he is with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Really?
We can't hear you hardly at all, though.
How about this? Is that any better?
That's a little better.
Sorry, I'm just traveling and driving, et cetera, but anyway.
All right, put that phone up to your ear. Did you hear the Richard Mack Hour, by the way?
No, I didn't. I was delivering my neighbors to the airport, and I thought it would be a little better if I talked to them while I was doing that.
Wow. All right, well, let's talk about Utah State for a second. I don't mean the university. I mean the state of Utah.
Yeah, and on the Richard Mack Hour real quick, I just want to see if I understood. So Mack is saying that...
Well, if you didn't hear it, how would you know?
Well, I heard you kind of talk a little bit about it.
All right.
Said that
it's a spoiler. That... People are supposed to listen to that hour, Kurt, now.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, never
mind. And if you listen, you'll be able to know, but I'm telling you, we created a what-if with this chick that's running for Senate in Arizona.
Yeah.
And Richard had a what-if scenario, and it has to do with, I don't know what you call it, sexual harassment and such like that. But understand, sir, it's all hypothetical, okay?
Yes, sir.
With that teaser, you should listen to that last hour.
Sorry.
All right, so we're talking about the state of Utah, and the state of Utah is making some pretty bold statements. Here's what the headline says. State needs to do more to collect $552 million in unpaid taxes, auditor claims. What do you think of this one, Kurt?
Well, Sam, the thing that came to my mind real quick is that they're always telling us how useful it is when the people have their own money and they do all this economic activity with it, and how good it is for the economy. Couldn't they just say, well, you know, we've got this ripping economy, we've had an oversupply of a bunch of extra taxes, we'll just kind of let this stuff go, but I guess I haven't heard them say that. Have you?
No. In fact, what's fascinating is they say when they had this auditor kind of present this information to them, a lot of the representatives kind of freaked out and were surprised at this. They say while the state wants to ensure to collect what's owed, they also want to make sure that it's not done too forcefully, sir. What do you think of that?
They don't want to get too pushy and too tough on people or whatever, but
yeah.
Every so often it seems like about this time of year or some particular time, they tell us that how much money they still owe the citizenry. In other words, in their, the people have filed for a refund and they haven't received it or they didn't cash their check. Couldn't they just kind of, call it good with that?
Well, the problem is they want that money. More than they want the money, Kurt, what they really want is they kind of want to make sure that the intimidation has a proper balance. Let me explain. They say we don't want to be too draconian in our practices. It's a balancing act is what they say.
Yeah, just a little draconian, but not too draconian.
Okay, and this is kind of the point, is You know, they're not really interested in being soft. They just want to be, they don't want to be kind of considered too hardcore. So they say, you know what? This is money that's owed over the last 5 years only. They say the state could collect more money if it was more hardcore with taxpayers. So we've kind of pared back our approach so that the Utah Tax Commission doesn't look like the IRS. They said, but don't worry. They just want everyone to pay their fair share, Kurt. Now, can you help me understand your fair share, Kurt?
Well, it seems like they said that they had a bunch of extra cash lately, as far as I know.
Well, they never have extra cash, Kurt. They have rainy day funds, and they have all kinds of things like that, but there's no such thing as extra cash for government, sir.
Yeah, wouldn't they just say, been bringing in more than we thought we would, so...
Here's your money back?
Lower it.
No, because they'll lose the intimidation factor. They're not about to do that. It's called the Velvet Hammer, sir.
Yeah, but it sure would be nice.
They just want to beat you to a pulp with a velvet hammer, brother. They want to be as soft as they can, but just extract as much as they can get from you, and there's never enough.
Remember, you know, and they're typically pretty smart when they figure out that the best economies are the ones where they tax the lowest. So they might want to just go ahead and tax even lower, right?
Whoa, that would be common sense, though. They're not that conservative, sir. Hang tight.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
I'm telling you right now, one of the most important things we need to do is downsize the size and scope of government. But in Utah alone, they say the state needs to do more to collect $552 million in unpaid taxes, auditor says. Lawmakers want to ensure the state collects what's owed, but they also want to make sure it's not, quote, done too forcefully. We don't want to be too draconian in our practices, the outgoing speaker said. Wow. It's a, quote, balancing act. That scares the heck out of me, Kurt. And I don't know where we go from here, but government's got way too much money. They never have an overage, as you say, but they do have rainy day funds and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. where does this all go? And the problem is it's all one big slush fund that it's hard for me to even know what money's what money, right?
Well, you know, they do always seem to find a way to spend more of it. But, you know, if we can always hope that they will go ahead and spend less and, you know, let more of the people keep their money so that, you know, more freedom can abound, you know.
Do you have any advice for them, Kurt?
Yeah. Let's look at the whole idea of needs and wants and look at what government should do and how we shouldn't be, you know, spending the people's money that should be only for the people. And we should have only government do the things that it, well, necessary that it does. Let the churches and the people and that kind of thing take care of the things that are not supposed to be done by the government. Look at the old ways and return to the tried and tested ways of the past.
Wow. So lower taxes, respect the people, back the proper role of limited constitutional government, pay attention to what government has authority and a responsibility to do, and, well, back out of the rest. All right. There you have it, though. 52, what is it? How much money was this here?
$550 million. It seems like it's, you know, in that range. Pretty close, a little bit more than a half a billion.
That's a little bit of change, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. And next headline of interest, e-cigarette warnings to arrive in government high school bathrooms nationwide, writes CNN. They don't say government, but I'm going to add that there because I think it's true. It isn't in the private schools necessarily. But Dateline New York, CNN, they say U.S. Food and Drug Administration officials are staging a massive educational campaign aimed at the nearly 10.7 million teens at risk for e-cigarette use and potential addiction, Kurt. For the first time, the agency will take the message that, quote, vaping is dangerous in the high school bathrooms and social media feeds of those at risk. That is minors. They say the trend was flagged in a 2016 report from the U.S. Surgeon General. And more than 2 million middle and high school students used e-cigarettes in 2017 and were in possession of data, they say, that shows a disturbing, sharp rise in the use of e-cigarettes over the last year. And they say, while applauding the FDA's move, Linda Richter, Director of Policy and Research and Analysis for the Nonprofit Center on Addiction, talks about the dangers of e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes work by heating up a, quote, liquid that has flavorings and then all these other components. And they say that these e-cigarettes are a direct gateway to traditional cigarettes. They say no youth should ever use e-cigs. So understand, when you're a youth, don't use them. But when you get older, you got to use them. The lie is. Anyway, there you have it. You want to respond to this one, Kurt?
Well, you know, like, first of all, FDA. Well, in my opinion, you're going to have a hard time finding the Federal Food and Drug Administration. You're going to have a hard time finding that in the Constitution. You're going to have a hard time finding it way back in George Washington's time. You know, so many of these things are just things that shouldn't even be there, in my opinion. And then to take, you know, those hard-earned tax dollars that we have to send these messages, and what they're doing typically is they're going to just keep putting the money, you know, that those tax dollars to their pals. So, in other words, they're going to spend money with their friends and try to say it's, well, it's all to help the community be healthier. Well, wouldn't it be healthier if the community just kept their own money, and then, like you and I might have a little extra money, we could always put up little signs that vaping isn't that healthy, you know. You might want to consider breathing fresh air, you know, or something like that. But no, the federal government's going to take care of that too for us.
There you have it. I find it very strange indeed. But again, 90% of the stories we see relate to government entities that are just run amok, run off the rails. I agree with the Food and Drug Administration that vaping is dangerous. I get all that. What I don't get is the federal government stealing my money so the federal government can, you know, promote this educational, quote, campaign in government schools. If you don't have a government school, you don't need an educational campaign. So one problematic, unconstitutional agency, the Education Department, dovetails into another government agency, the Food and Drug Administration, needing to do things. They just need to get out of our lives. We just need to get rid of these governmental programs, Kurt.
I couldn't agree more, Stan.
And it's out of control. Well, yep. Ron Paul emailed me, Kurt.
What did he say?
And in the headline, Ron Paul says, when I'd bring this up, crowds would cheer. Did you see this?
Nope.
Okay, so he's talking about when he was running for president. He brought up a pretty cool idea. And he said, when I'd bring this up, crowds would cheer. In fact, the idea was so popular that the other politicians tried to steal my idea, even though they couldn't remember the names of the agencies in question. Crowds cheered when I called for this, and so they wanted to jump on the Ron Paul bandwagon. Here's what it says. Sam, during my 2012 campaign for president, crowds cheered when I called for abolishing 5 cabinet-level departments. I placed the departments of education, interior, energy, housing and urban development, and commerce on the chopping block. My plan was so well-received and popular that other candidates tried to adopt the idea for themselves, even though they couldn't remember the names of specific departments they wanted to get rid of. But while I believe closing these departments would save a tremendous amount of money and streamline government, it would have served another important practical purpose. Recent revelations have made it clearer than ever that drastic action must be taken. In Washington, D.C., federal employees have been exposed using government resources and time to target private citizens for harassment. Deep state leaders feed negative stories to the press in an effort to thwart the agenda of the current administration. It's impossible to, quote, fire federal employees, one State Department bragged. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many of these, quote, swamp dwellers are active within the Washington, D.C. branch of the Democrat Socialists of America. These self-described socialists slash communists are acting with resistance inside the Trump administration. And it underscores a problem that many of us have been witness to for quite some time. In Washington, D.C., politicians come and go, but the bureaucracy remains forever. If you're as concerned as I am, you need to send a petition to the Trump administration right away to drain the swamp. As you'll see, this petition calls on the Trump administration to begin taking concrete steps to rein in the federal bureaucracy through hiring freezes, budget cuts, and more. Boy, howdy, is that spot on. We'll come back and break that down and talk about it. Then another example of how Utah, Salt Lake City, if you will, is running amok with too much government funding. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to dismantle a significant portion of the government, the rogue unconstitutional portion, and we got to do it fast.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, They would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Back with you live. We're talking about Ron Paul emailed me and many others. And Ron Paul says, during my 2012 campaign for president, crowds cheered when I called for abolishing five cabinet-level departments. I placed the departments of education, interior, energy, housing and development, and commerce on the chopping block. My plan was so popular, other candidates tried to adopt my idea. Even if they couldn't remember the names of specific departments, he kind of mocks them there. But this illustrates the point that I'm getting at, Kurt, quite well. That, you know what? Ron Paul didn't win, but he sure made a difference in the narrative and the discussion. We haven't heard a word about that kind of stuff since. Right?
That's a great point. You know, the president has talked about lowering regulation and things like that, but this would be, well, in my opinion, a way to accomplish that in a whole new area, simply because you eliminate these departments that, you know, are staffed and filled with all these bureaucrats, all these swamp monsters, and then you... you know, you continue on from there. You know, you've seen some of these reports lately where you've got this James O'Keefe guy from the, what's it called, Project Veritas, where they have these embedded, or I guess you call them undercover reporters that are going in and basically filming these different federal employees that say stuff like, oh, man, I can never be fired. And I work a lot of my time while I'm just on the clock. I just work doing things for the Democrat Socialists of America or something like that. You know, basically just going directly against the government and the administration that they should be working for, you know. So there's sure a lot of fixing that should go on, right?
Amen to that. And I bring that up because, you know, Ron Paul, his legacy to audit and eventually abolish the Federal Reserve, his legacy to truly focus on, look, we need to abolish government agencies. We need to downsize the scope of government. And if Utah would downsize its scope of government, it might not need this $550 million from the taxpayers. And when you look at this, we need to place all kinds of state and federal departments on the chopping block. We need to get serious about this. For example, the next headline says Salt Lake City receives $1.9 million as a federal grant to retrofit homes from earthquakes. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, you know, like this story, if you know, you as a politician come off and say that you're not for this, then people will accuse you of saying that you're, you know, for people dying in an earthquake. But what we're really for is the federal government doing just what it's supposed to do and nothing more. And it's not supposed to take the hard-earned money that the people send in and then kind of divvy it up back to, you know, particular states or government entities to try to hand it back. It's supposed to let the people keep it in the first place, and that's what should be going on. You know, that's the bottom line for me.
Well, I find that interesting because we've got so much money being spent, meaning I think it's good to retrofit our homes for earthquakes. I think that's a good idea. But I don't think it's a good idea for government to create a grant to send, you know, the federal government sending Salt Lake City or Utah money to do that. We just had a guy on several weeks ago that was with us that talked about the importance of hardening our electrical system so that it can handle an EMP strike. And they're not even willing to consider or do that. We could do these things on a local level. We don't need to do it on a federal government level is the problem. So there you have it. Now, I'll give you another example where government's just out of control. I guess the man was cited for walking on the cone of Yellowstone's Old Faithful. Yellowstone National Park, they say this is the park service. Get on the boardwalk, said an official with a, you know, park service. I guess they captured this man walking, or they caught this man walking there. I guess he urinated on the geyser, then he laid down next to the geyser. Just a weird story, Kurt. They say the man was arrested following the incident and charged with multiple violations, including, listen, being off trail in a thermal area. Did you know that was an offense? Being off trail in a thermal area, buddy. They say the man has been since released on bond, but remains under investigation. We take these cases very seriously, says Yellowstone Superintendent Dan Wink. The law requires people to stay on boardwalks or on marked roads, but they can't release the name of the guy right now. They say geysers and hot springs are incredibly dangerous. Many people have been killed and or injured by underestimating that danger. This is the second incident for park officials in the last 6 weeks. I guess a guy was taunting a buffalo in the park and got 130 days in jail. Don't be taunting them buffaloes now, Kurt. All you got to do is taunt conservatives and you're okay. And this stuff's weird. Now, can't the state of Utah handle these things? Why does it have to be a federal government National Park Service thing?
Well, in that case, you know how we recently toured Yellowstone. We're up there. And in that case, as far as I know, it'd be one of the other states. But like you say,
it would be what?
Well, you know, I don't think it's I know it's not part of Utah. It's part of Idaho.
No. I think it's either Idaho or Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe Montana.
But the key thing to remember is that government, you know, there's plenty of local citizenry to take care of things like these parks and like the buffalo or like the geysers or whatever else. It's not necessary that we have the federal government doing that. And like Ron Paul says, if you get rid of the Department of the Interior, I think most of that would go away. You know, and you can handle those things from a local level and have the states have their properties back and let them take care of their things right in the state.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Just strange stuff. Again, you know, I think if we learn to keep God's laws and learn to be self-governed as people, 90% of these problems would go away. But the biggest problem that I have is whenever these problems occur, we always want to turn to government for the solutions. And what we need to turn to is our families, our churches, our private sectors, our charities, our local municipalities. Okay, that's where things need to start. All right. I guess they still won't retract bogus Bernstein scoop. You remember this one, Kurt?
No, that one doesn't ring a bell.
Well, do you know who Bernstein is, first of all, Kurt?
I think there's a guy named Carl Bernstein, if I remember right.
Okay.
And he's an author. I think he originally did a lot of, I guess, got famous in the whole Watergate era. And so then he's rewritten some stuff lately on the whole Trump deal, but I can't remember exactly what he wrote or what the story's all about.
Yeah, it is Carl. And I guess Carl Bernstein alleged what? He alleged some stuff about Donald Trump, and then Trump strikes back. Then CNN still won't retract the story, says Rush Limbaugh and others.
Yeah, I think there's stuff about him being in the White House interviewing certain people, and it's not as flattering as it could be. And so then, the president's not really happy about it.
Okay, so CNN admits their source. The only source they had was Carl Bernstein, and now he says he lied. So that's the problem, right? Woodward and Bernstein did their Watergate stuff back in the day, and so now this is a credibility crisis for Carl.
Yeah.
Bernstein primarily has been all over the place doing his own brand of journalism, says Rush Limbaugh. He's 74 years old. He made a mistake. He blew it on this one. He lied. This is a doozy. It's an embarrassment. And CNN feels the need to defend him. But what's the story here, Kurt?
Well,
Bernstein lied and said Donald Trump colluded with Russia.
Yeah, more fake news. What's happening?
And they say this lie lasted for a month until somebody was forced to testify before Congress and admit the truth, something different. Then the story busted wide open and CNN won't retract it. There you have it. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right, go on, take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right, raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
Yeah.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm in studio. Kirk Cosby's on the road. We are breaking down news like nobody's business. I'll tell you that right now. CNN still won't retract the Carl Bernstein lies. Ah, bogus lies. They know it's lies, but they won't retract because they got to save face. Well, that just doubles down and proves how dishonest and fake news they really are. But what'll happen when the next news story needs to break? Donald Trump will run right into the arms of CNN. You just watch. Obama requirement blamed for doctor burnout, Kurt.
Obama requirement blamed for doctor burnout.
Yeah, there's a big old story about health records in this one. And yeah, I guess what happened is Barack Hussein Obama forced the use of electronic records, and it's absolutely running the staff ragged. They spend more of their time keeping records than they do helping patients, and it's creating doctor burnout to where literally doctors are wanting to quit and get out of the business, sir.
Yep. All we need is more paperwork and more government regulation just to make everything better, right?
Well, here's what's funny. I don't go to the doctor a lot, but I do go to the doctor some for different reasons. One of them is, for example, I need, when my kids go to scout camp or whatever, they have to fill out a form to make sure that, it's like a well visit or something, right?
Yep.
Anyways, and so I go to the doctor for different reasons, not necessarily that somebody's sick, but I found the doctors used to come in and greet you and sit down and talk. And at the end, they might update a little bit of records. Take notes on, reminders is what it was primarily for. And then to document any medications or details. Now the doctor comes in, curtly nods at you and says hello and jumps on the computer and says, just a minute, and spends 5 minutes taking notes and updating records and doing all this garbage before they even talk to you. And then when they get done with all the records, they look over and they're like, okay, what can I do for you? There's a big change, Kurt, and I think this is a serious problem. We need someone to deregulate and get government out of the center of this. Yesterday.
Yeah, just imagine that. Less government is the solution. Oh, wow.
Wow. All right, the next headline, Angel Dad. If lawmakers really cared about citizens, they would secure the border. Now, do you have the backstory on this one, Kurt?
Yeah, do you know what these angel moms and angel dads are, what they call them, what President Trump calls them, why he calls them that?
Well, it's supposed to be what, a kind person that helps out illegals?
Well, what they are is they're the ones who basically were killed by, they've got children.
Okay, so an angel mom or dad is somebody who has their kid killed by an illegal alien.
That's right, yeah. In some kind of a crazy way where they, at least the president can point out the fact that if this illegal immigrant hadn't been here, illegal alien hadn't been here in America, then these guys would be safe, So at least to me, that's the key issue here.
And so what do you think? The lawmakers don't care about this, do they, Kurt? See, the Republicans are now all worried that they're going to lose. They should be worried, sir. I don't know what they've done. The angel dad's spot on. Hey, if lawmakers really cared about citizens, they would secure the border. I agree with that, but they're not doing it. They're not even, in fact, any effort to talk about securing the border brings mockery and derision and attack.
Well, you're exactly right. But there, thank goodness there's some that are working on it. But there's sure a lot more that need to be.
Amen to that. All right, Bono is in the news. Do you know who Bono is, Kurt?
This is a music guy.
Yeah, do you know who he is?
Well, I'm trying to remember, you know. Let's
come
see.
On, Kurt, you're supposed to know all this stuff and be up on these stories, man. Come on.
Yes, I know.
What's going on with you?
Let's see. I know this guy's a famous musician, but I'm pretty sure. Can you read the rest of the headline?
No, Kurt.
No more.
All it says is Bono gives Nazi salute while mocking Swedish populists at Paris show. So he's performing in Paris. He whips out a Nazi salute to mock folks. Right?
Well, yeah. I suppose he gets a pass for this because he's a musician or somebody in Hollywood, you know. But anyway, I can't remember what I wanted to say about that story, but... Bono, I know you've got a lot of his music, you know, and he's pretty famous. I know that, right?
Well, isn't he the lead singer of U2, Kurt?
Is that what it is? Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm sure that you know.
Anyway, I don't know what's going on with this. Okay, I don't know what to think about this because you know what? Is he really giving a Nazi salute by what, you know, doing these things or whatever? I don't even know if that's true, but if it is, Kurt, I reject it.
Yeah. That's a good thing to reject, I think.
I mean, I'm just not for this. And I don't know if he really wants to promote Nazism or if he's just trying to mock people over this divide and stuff like that, but I don't think that we ought to intentionally trigger people. So I don't know what his reference point is on it. I just don't think it's valuable. I don't see what good that does. Now, if your goal, I guess, is just to create controversy and out of that comes popularity, I don't roll that way, Kurt. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested. I'm interested in bringing people together. I'm interested in a peaceful narrative.
So many times, though, the reason they do stuff is that it will give them news coverage, you know, right?
Yes. I just don't find it helpful.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
All right. Suspect tries to steal car with 5-year-old in back seat. Gets shot dead by child's father. That's a tragic story.
Well, you know, it's true that it's sad somebody had to die, but, you know, thank goodness the 5-year-old, you know, the child was not injured or hurt or lost, you know, and that the father protected him. That's the good part. Sad thing is there's people making bad choices.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you the other positive. If we publish this enough, maybe there'll be folks that hesitate next time from committing crimes.
Amen to that.
And that's what I would hope. That's why we bring it up, right?
Yeah.
And we don't bring it up to cause trouble or anything. But we do bring it up for two reasons. One, so that it could deter crime. I think the next guy might think twice if he has this story fresh on his mind. Secondarily, though, I want people to know that, you know what? Good guys with guns do good things.
Great point. Imagine that.
And I'm sorry somebody had to die in all that. I truly am.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sorry that I would take away the gun.
Imagine that, Sam.
Now, you know, the discussions in America are difficult these days. For example, I got an email from the Family Alliance team, Kurt.
Yeah.
And it says, is the federal government complicit in selling baby parts? And they go on and document the answer is yes.
Wow. That's too bad.
Now, I don't know how to respond to that story. It's so against my pro-life agenda, efforts, desires, whatever. I don't know what word you want to place there. It's so against my fundamental understanding of the proper role and purpose of government that it just shocks the senses to the core. And I know people would say, well, Sam, don't be so dramatic. But we're talking, Kurt, about baby parts.
Yeah.
We're talking about human body parts of the most innocent among us is what we're talking about.
That's right.
And so I can't help but just be absolutely incensed over this.
Yeah.
But I bring it up and they're like, you're an abortion phobe, aren't you? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm a phobia of murdering because I know God's wrath will be upon me. I believe in life, folks, and I believe in protecting life. And I believe that's really, if you talk about protecting life, liberty, and property, that's really the fundamental purpose of government. If it doesn't do any of that, what good is that government?
Great point.
And I know that our government does a lot of protecting of life, liberty, and property. Okay, so I don't mean to down it and throw the baby out with the bathwater or anything like that. I know they do a lot of good. I knew there's a lot of good going on in America, and there's a lot of protection. There's a lot of freedoms. There's a lot of safety, and that's wonderful. But, folks, we've really got to analyze this and say, man, let's be congruent in our actions, in our thoughts, in our behaviors, in public and private. Let's not spend money on these against the proper role of government agenda items. Let's don't do it. Let's be very careful indeed. All right, the final word's yours, Kurt.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what else to add. You know, when you bring up this pro-life story, you know, we had the pro-life thing with the father protecting his son, and then you had the, you know, baby part thing. You know, the bottom line is that's oh so important, and yet so many times it gets, I guess you could say, very little coverage, if you will, right?
Yes. So where do you think we go from here when it comes to this, Kurt? What do we do? I talked about this with last hour with Sheriff Mack. You know what? Where is justice? You got Hillary running around saying, give this lady the benefit of the doubt while she literally called a person who says she was raped by her husband a bimbo eruption?
Yeah.
Okay, a woman with multiple witnesses and circumstantial evidence is ignored while a woman with no evidence is literally given the limelight? And what are we to do about the problems with God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property? What are we to do about the supreme law of the land literally being walked over and violated and torn to shreds at every turn? How do we stand for the Constitution, and then how do we do it, most importantly, peacefully? In other words, not in a revolution style, but a restoration style. How do we do that? What do we do? Where do we go? And I believe that our stand in the media is one of the most important stands we can make, folks. I really do. The media is where the discussions happen or don't happen. The media is the key, in my opinion, because I'm telling you right now, if we had the right media in place, this lady wouldn't be able to just continue with her shenanigans, her charade. She wouldn't be able to, Kurt. We would simply say, where's your witnesses? Put up or shut up. Kind of an idea. Where's the truth on this thing? Okay, we got to get this done, folks. We've got to have justice. Where is justice? What are we to do? I say get involved in the media as we take center stage and do our very best to tell the tale of liberty everywhere we go, to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property. That's what we're to do. That's the best way we can achieve justice. We declare we can save our grand old republic, but you got to get involved. Will you? Will you help us? All right, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.